Today we're going to talk about growing in our personal lives, allowing God to make us into who He wants us to be. All year long it's about being restored, but we have to be restored first before the church is restored, before we're restored in our personal lives. And we don't have to wait to heaven to cast our crowns in front of God, but this song is indicative of what we can do now. We come in front of the God. The angels will sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and is to come," and we'll cast our crowns. Whatever we've done that looks good on a resume, it's you, God. It's all you. And as we sing that wonderful hymn of the faith that reminds us today about serving other people. And this is a guy right here named Wiley Davis that you know. If you were ever welcomed at this church, would you raise your hand, please, right now? Wiley has been a buddy for 30 years, probably 28 of those years. He used to count the money. He is a lot more fun now. Welcoming people to the house of God. And you know that if we have one or 10 services, he's going to be here. We stop asking him ahead of time. We just know he's going to show. And so the Connection Point family and the Brownsburg Christian family, your mother who brought you to church and now is in heaven, I have a feeling God is saying, watch this right now. And you've welcomed us to the house of worship at 35 North Green Street and up here at 800 Green Street for 28 years at least. And you told me, you reminded me of something real important today. You know, Steve, the other thing you taught me was to like Greeter's ice cream. So some things are not so good, some things are not so good. We're Reds fans. Used to, when I would be called to go speak to a men's meeting, I would call Wiley, "Hey, buddy, what you got tonight?" I'd pick him up and he'd travel with me to preach to a bunch of men. And so we had a lot of fun time together doing that, have done that. But as we're honoring some people this year, restoring the church and thanking God for his faithful ones, the Bible says in Psalm 84, "Man, I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord, my God, than to dwell in the house of the wicked." What an honor to be a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord. I just have a feeling. I don't know what all we're going to do. I have a feeling he's going to be at the Golden Gate when we get there. That might be his place forever. Maybe outside the temple, he'll get to be one of the people that are going to welcome us home. Or maybe he's going to sit in the front row, not to find seats. But he has been so all in, served so many ways, and we just wanted to honor him today. And before we talk about serving, you needed to see it embodied, all in. Would you honor with me my dear brother, Wiley Davis? We love you, buddy.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we didn't come out here. Wiley would probably have disagreed if he knew people were going to stand here today. But they're honoring you and one of your sons who's learned to practice what some of us preach. Thank you, God, that as we have seen him serve, may we each find our calling just as sure. When you find your laser-focused calling, it changes your whole life and it blesses others. But on the inside, Wiley would tell us today, he's had more blessing and honor than the 10,000 people he's welcomed to these facilities over the years. That's just how it works. And God, we want to serve you the same way and be blessed in the same way. And so we just honor him today and pray that you'll inspire us to do the same and be like Christ until we're with you face to face and serve you on our knees and cast our crowns at your feet. And we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Wiley. Thank you. Well, you may be seated. We're having fun these days talking about compassion. Last week, I asked you last week to send me, please, your stories, acts of compassion all week. I asked you to send me pictures if you do that. I know you don't want to do that because usually when you like to serve, you'd rather nobody find out about it. But thanks for those of you who are willing to share it with me so I could share some with the church family today. I also ask you to play a spy on somebody in your life and to watch them serving and send me a picture. So somebody's going to be surprised today, I think. But I ask you to do that all 4 weeks. I'll say it again at the end. Go on to our website that's dedicated to this theme and pick a different way to serve for the 4 weeks. And please keep sending me the stories. We're going to compile all of them. They'll be on the link so everybody can read all the stories when people give us permission to do that. But please keep sending those to me, will you? Man, it's just this, there's nothing like seeing you doing the work of God and making me cry and blessing the angels in heaven. Let me just share a couple of examples where somebody saw a need and they weren't ready for it, but God prompted them. Mike Gillespie has sent me so many encouraging letters over the years. And Mike said, you know, I was struggling this past week. I had several issues going on with work and my family, and I travel a lot by car and have to go to different places. I went north to the hotel early because of weather that was supposed to be coming overnight. I chose to head north, beat the storm. Another night, though, away from my wife and kids. I hate that. I'm always burdened by it. And I was down. I was mourning that I was having to leave my family again for the week, but I checked into the hotel, and there was a couple in front of me checking in, and they were asking if the hotel had any rooms available, and they said, we have a few, but they're at a very high rate. And the retired couple said, well, our AARP discount, they said, it's still the same rate. And so they took the costly room, and when asked why they were here, they said, well, they have a brother who's been put into the hospital emergency. So they had to be there, but he could see on their faces the burden of the cost of the room. And so they walked out, and he said, the sermon hit me like a 2x4. I'm going to go into stealth mode. That means when you serve, you're going to go under the radar. Remember we talked about that? He said, I travel so much. I stay at the same places. I accumulate points to take advantage of that for personal visits in the future. So I told the person checking me in, would you use my points and pay for their stay? I told her of your sermon last week. Gave him a short version. Thanks for that. Your sermon on compassion. So I delivered it to them. And he said, can I tell them? He said, no, you cannot tell them. I'm doing stealth mode on this. Nobody can know. They cannot know. But I felt a weight that left my shoulders the minute I did that. He said, I couldn't wait to get to my room. But since I put my luggage down, I fell on my knees before God and I cried like a baby. And I thank God for the guiding me and prompting me for this opportunity to serve somebody else. Abby McKinney played spy. She writes about a friend and neighbor. Here's a picture of my neighbor. Since she's stealth mode, I won't give you her name. But she said, I could snap pictures of her every single week of compassion. She's giving here hot chocolate to the kids in their kind of homemade ice rink in the backyard. And where do I start talking about her? She does so many things for so many people all the time. Her and her husband have adopted 3 special needs children. They have 2 biological children. She's a very busy pharmacist. He's a very busy firefighter. She volunteers at Connection Point, too, by the way, teaching preschoolers about Jesus. She's also active in the military support ministry at the church. I see her go out of her way, and I see it every single day for somebody else and their need. She helps me with my 4 kids when I have to be away. She'll feed them, to treat them like her own kids until I get home. It doesn't matter. It always happens that way. And she takes the place and she takes care of them. She just showers them with love as if they were her own kids. When you hear those stories, what just happened in your heart? You went, that's the way it's supposed to work. When the church is working right, there is nothing like it. Because it's so foreign from what we see in the world when it's all about me and my entitlement and my rights, and you see people focusing on somebody else, you know, that's God at work. And so we're going to talk about that today, because knowing Jesus Christ, trying to be like him, and being compassionate, they fit together. Everything doesn't fit together. But being like Christ and being compassionate to others, that works. That's a perfect fit. And you know you're not Jesus, but you feel a little bit like him, or trying to be like him when you're just so focused on somebody else and their needs. So take out your sermon notes if you would. Let's get this thing laser focused today, and I'm going to make this as practical as I can. If you've never heard a word before about serving in spiritual gifts, before you leave today, you're going to hear something at the end of this story that can change your life. I don't often make that kind of a claim. You're going to find out what your primary spiritual gift is today before you leave, and you'll be able to sign up for two ways to start serving this week. That's all going to happen today by noon. Or 25 minutes. Let's go with that. And the nervous laughter makes me nervous. All right. Well, let's dig in. Here's the big idea. God has a plan for your life, but you will have to participate. The phrase "let go and let God" is not in the Bible. To find God's purpose, you have to sign up. You have to be intentional. You have to be all in. You have to participate. That's just the way it works. You know, sometimes people get discouraged by God because they expect God to be kind of like magic. Some people have made us think that's the way it's supposed to work. And some of you showed up and you expected, give my life to Jesus, start to serve, and the sun's going to come out every day. My stress is going to go away. I'll stay healthy. It's like he's a magic pill. We'd never verbally say that, but I think in America where we're entitled, that's exactly what we think. Because I see it when things go wrong, people say, well, I'm bailing on God because he didn't deliver on the magic I was expecting. They don't say it, but they're thinking it. It's a very common thing, and in our world, it's really easy for that to be common, but that is not how it works. You don't live happily ever after. That's a spiritual fairy tale. What did Jesus say? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. You may walk through the valley of shadow of death, but I will be with you. So trouble's coming, but he'll be with us. That's the whole gospel. Jesus did not promise that we'd be spiritual consumers, that we would have it our way. That's Burger King, not the King of Kings. Burger King thrives when consumers are attracted. But the King of Kings wants us to be like him. In fact, Jesus told us what God was like and what God feels because he was God in flesh. Matthew 20, verse 28, he told us why he came. He calls himself the Son of Man as God in flesh. He said even the Son of Man came not to be what? Now, he's the King of the universe. He made the world. He said, I didn't come here to be served. I came to serve others and to give his life, my life, he's saying, as a ransom for many. So make sure you don't miss this key point here. A consumer mentality will net you nothing in your spiritual life. And that is a problem because we live in a consumer mentality all the time. But that nets you nothing. In fact, it sets you back in your spiritual life. On the other hand, what we see in Jesus, the story I'm going to show you today, there's a peace and there is a joy and there's a fulfillment and there is a faithfulness, a fruitfulness. There's a satisfaction that comes that only can come when you serve. I mean, there are certain kinds of satisfaction that only happen when you serve, and they're different than any other kind of satisfaction. And the only way to get that level of fulfillment, satisfaction, is in serving. So with that in mind, let's look at John chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. It's the fourth account of the writers of the New Testament. John was the closest to Jesus. He said, I'm the apostle whom Jesus loved. He wasn't bragging. He was just the closest to Jesus. Jesus entrusted the most to him. So he writes the most in depth about the life of Christ. John 4 is a long story. You're going to read the rest of it later today, but not in church, right? Right. Go back and read it later. I'm just going to give you the punchline. You like when you get a book, don't you? You ever go to the back and say, how's this sucker end? Get a letter, you say, what's this about? Go to the last paragraph. So we're going to the last part of the story because what I find is in this story, much of my life, I've been preaching on this story. I've read it for years, and I have to tell you, I miss the end of the story most of my life. So to make sure you don't miss it, we're going to start and talk about the end of it. You go back and read the backstory later today, okay? That deal? That was not overwhelming. Is that a deal? This only works if you go back and get the story. Okay? So I'll give you the punchline, John chapter 4. It's an amazing story. Here are the high points, okay? Just big picture. Look up here, big picture. That's the end of a long, hard day of ministry. It's hot outside. Jesus sits down at a well. Now, Jesus got tired. Did you know that? He got thirsty. He got hungry in his flesh. He sits down to get some water. The disciples of Jesus knew they were to serve him. They said, hey, you know, we'll go in town and get some lunch for you. My guess is they got theirs first. Doesn't matter, though. They go in town to get some lunch. So Jesus sits there by himself at the well. And so a woman comes up to get some water, and she is a single woman. And Jesus asked her, would you draw me some water? Now, this is amazing that he does this. And so she gives him water. Let me fill in the blanks for you. He takes that. He shows you how to lead somebody to Christ. You meet people where they are. You ask them for a favor. Very often they'd be glad to help you with. And then in time, you can tell the whole story. He ends up teaching her about, I can give you now living water, which is eternal life, and it's better than the best water you've ever found in this life. So he ends up offering her eternal life. She comes to know Christ. That's the story. But in this story, he begins to talk with this woman about helping him out with this thing. And eventually, she is hungry enough for God. She listens to him. She cannot believe God has offered to her. And God becomes her Father in heaven. Jesus becomes her brother in Christ. She's led to Christ before she walks away from that well. Okay? That's where this story goes. She has faith in God. And by the way, she cannot understand how in the world she has faith in God. Now, she was a Samaritan. Have you heard of racial prejudice before? The prejudice you've ever seen in your life is nothing compared to the prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans. Nothing like it. It's worse than the prejudice and the enemy in the Middle East. It's worse than that. It's more intense than that. I've been there and seen Jews can't even go into Bethlehem because it's so hostile. They have to get off the bus and you run in with Palestinians when you go to Bethlehem. It's that bad. This was worse. Jews did not talk. Number one, men didn't talk to women in public, let alone a Jewish man to a Samaritan woman. Jesus talks to this Samaritan woman. Now, to make sure you don't miss this, every time in this story, I tell you the short version, every time I say the word Samaria, now I'm talking to you as well, point. I'm talking to you as well here in the center. Every time I say the word Samaritan or Samaria, the context is if it's you talking to her, I want you to go, what? So when I say Samaria, what? Samaritan, what? I mean, this is like, you kidding me? This doesn't happen. But it happened. So Jesus begins to talk to this woman. He tells her the story. Who said what? I didn't say Samaritan, dude. Man, you're good enough. Send him to detention right now, all right? We'll deal with you later, as you'll see in just a minute, Rob. I love you, brother. Because I would have done the same thing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, all right. Back to our scene. He leads her to the Lord before they're finished. And this is crazy because Jesus tells this woman he knows her stuff. Everybody knows her stuff, pretty much. She'd been married 5 times and divorced 5 times. She was now living with a guy. She had the mark on her forehead, if you will. Jesus points out he knows her situation and he loves her anyway. He tells her God loves her anyway. He wants to be your father forever right now. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. I don't care how long. And she cannot understand how God could do that. But she's so desperate for God, she seeks it out. And they finish, and Jesus said, now we're not finished. You've got the message. Now go into town and tell everybody you've seen there's hope in Jesus Christ. He become your father too. You're a witness day one. Go spread the word. And so she does that. That's scene one. He reaches out in compassion to a Samaritan. You flunk over here, you pass over here. Let's see how we go. He goes to see this woman. Everybody else was prejudiced against her, but Jesus reaches out to her. That's enough, but then he shows her compassion that she cannot understand, but now she has faith in God. Her life has been totally changed. So that's a fast version of scene one. Scene two is that the disciples are away getting lunch. And there we begin to find out three things on your sermon notes today about how we can have service, like biblical service, restored. Because until we're all in serving him, we will not be serving him like a church. Your family won't serve him the way you should unless you are serving him and you're restored in serving. So how do we do this? Three things we learn. Number one, you learn there is a gift that comes only to those who serve. You have to believe this. You are living beneath your privilege. If you are not serving, you do not have, you never will have all the gifts God wants to give you. Some gifts God saves only for those who serve. There are certain gifts that only come to those who serve. And so when you come to believe that, that begins to inspire you a little bit. The disciples have been with Jesus. Don't beat yourself up. They don't get it. If you don't get it, hang loose, because they didn't get it either. Let's start at verse 31. Let me show you what I mean. So they come back with the food, and the disciples are urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." Now, have you ever had somebody fix dinner at your house and say, "Come and get it while it's hot"? Happened to me last night. I was reworking this message. I usually do it Saturday nights, a couple hours. And I'll be right there. It's going to get cold. My grandma in Georgia, her line was, "Cover the biscuit, butt them while they're hot. Eat something right now. We went to get you lunch. Eat it first. Lord, you need some." I mean, well, Lord, you need some strength first. Eat your lunch first. Jesus responds, verse 32. "Listen, I have the kind of food that you know nothing about. I know you guys are hungry and ready for lunch. I was hungry, but I have to tell you right now, I am so full of joy. I am so satisfied right now. I have a feeling of satisfaction. I couldn't touch a thing. It would make me uncomfortable. I'm that fulfilled. But you haven't eaten anything. Well, let me tell you about it. The kind of food I'm talking about fulfills you and satisfies you in a whole different kind of level. What happened? I had a life-changing connection, a conversation with a Samaritan woman. A Samaritan? What? A Samaritan woman. A life-changing conversation with her. And that's my food." They're going, "This analogy stuff is driving me crazy. Food? What's he talking about now?" She's had a tough background. She's been in a hostile place. She doesn't know about God. She's been labeled. No hope for her. Would you agree? No hope for that one. Stay away from her. She may get you messed up. But Jesus said, "No, that's exactly what I was called to do. I talked to her. She leaned into what I said. And she's connected to God the Father in heaven forever. And you guys right now, I have a satisfaction. Look at me, like I've never had before. This is why I came. When I do this, I'm filled to overflowing in a way that food could never, ever satisfy." The poor disciples are still taking lunch. Verse 33, I love this. "Did somebody else give him some food? Did someone bring him food while we were gone?" Can you believe this? You ever felt, what part of, does it say dumb or stupid up here? Which one? Ever feel that way? He just said, "There's another kind of nourishment you know nothing about. I am so full right now. I'm so satisfied." Really? Who else brought you food while we were gone? Who fed him? Where'd you get the food? They have no clue. So, verse 34, Jesus explained, "My nourishment I'm talking about, it comes from doing the will of God. Doing the will of God fills me up, and it'll fill you up," he's saying. "The one who sent me, doing what he called me to do. And from finishing the work that he started when he sent me here." He said, "I'm telling you, when I do the will of God, when I show compassion, that's who I really am, it fills me up. It doesn't just bless them, it blesses me. Have you learned that yet? And when you serve somebody else, they're blessed, but I'm telling you, you're the one who walks away going, 'Oh my goodness, I can't. The endorphins in my brain are like going crazy right now. You have pleasure like you've never had in your life when you help somebody. You don't do it for that reason, but that's God's little surprise for you. He throws joy in. And you can't imagine how fulfilled you are. And there's just something here about showing compassion to this Samaritan. We are waning on me. Start again. There's something about showing compassion to this Samaritan woman. Way to go, point. I heard you yelling all the way over here. There's something about showing that kind of woman. I want to look at this. That blessed Jesus in a way that his disciples missed. You ever seen that story before? Seriously? This is Jesus. I thought he came to do the blessing. He said, I'm blessed. And the same is true for you. You're made in his image. There's something that happens when you do that. People who learn to love like Jesus loved, they're called spiritual contributors to the kingdom. People who are always thinking about themselves are spiritual consumers. There's no middle ground. For now, I'm going to put on my prophetic hat. A prophet has to speak the truth, even when it's not fun to speak. Here goes. A spiritual consumer, they want, man, I want what Jesus has. I want the kind of blessing that person has who served. Boy, I would like to feel that fulfilled, but do I have to serve somebody to get it? Can I get the perk without paying the price? No. There are no shortcuts to this. We all would like to feel that way, but you, as a being a consumer, you'll never get there. So I'm going to help you do three things today, and these are real simple, but you have to do them. You have to do them. It's that simple. When I said this can change your life today, I believe with all my heart that it can and will if you will do these three simple things. Look at the chart with the numbers 1 through 10. Don't do it yet. I'll tell you exactly when to do it. I want you to circle on the continuum from 1, if you're a spiritual consumer, all the way over to 10, if you're a spiritual contributor. Now, don't do it yet. Nobody is a 10. Unless you died for the sins of the world and came back from the grave, you're not a 10. Just to make sure we get it, would you tell your neighbor, you're not Jesus? Go ahead and tell him, you're not Jesus. If Jesus is a 10, it would not be you. Now, to help you with this, you're also nobody's a 1. The 1 is the devil. Some of you say, I'm close. Well, but you're not a devil. You may be a 2. You may be a 1.5, but you're not a 1. Those are reserved for the supernatural. One day we'll be like him, we'll be a 10 one day, but we won't be there till we're with him. So somewhere between 2 and 9, I'm going to lead you to circle something here in just a minute, and it's going to be hard to do, and I'm going to tell you again, you know I love you, right? You feel like a child right now, don't you? When mom says, this is going to hurt me more, is it going to hurt you? This is the hardest thing for me to do this weekend. In the point and the center, you know I love you, but I am not a prophet of God if I don't speak the truth to you today. That's the only way we're going to get it. So here's the deal. If you want to be restored in true service, you'll have to circle where you are on the continuum. Okay? Now, the encouragement is, if you end up circling a 2, don't beat yourself up. The disciples in the story are a 2. They're in front of Jesus, for goodness sake, and they're going, duh, no clue. They're a 2. 120 days later, they're a 9. They're dying for Christ within 120 days. That's the hope. Wherever you, I want you to circle what you were when you came in. When you leave, you're not going to be a 2. You're going to be on your way, heading the right direction. You with me? So, embrace if you're a 2 wherever you are, but you can move forward. So this is not beating you up. But until you face reality, you're not going to go where you can go, and God can't help you go where you need to go. It's called repentance. It's agreeing with God about the condition of your heart. So where are you on this thing? Okay? So mark that in your heart and your mind, where you were today. Let me start with the tough one first. If you have been here for a year, and you sit in the point right now, you're sitting in the center. If you've been hanging around this church for a year, if you dropped your kids or grandkids off today in their class, so somebody could serve you and your children, but you're not serving anywhere, anybody in this church, if you're sitting in a seat that you didn't help to pay for, if you're sitting in a house of worship that you didn't help to pay for, if you don't bring your tithe into the storehouse of God or do your giving online so people are fed the nurture of God, you'd never say it, but if you basically come to enjoy the music and the preaching, you come to enjoy the show. That's what our culture is. That's called a consumer mindset. We've all done it. I'm the greatest of sinners. When I talked to my buddies about retiring, they said, your favorite thing's going to be you're going to leave church and you're not going to judge the service. I'm the worst judge of the service. I can't wait to leave and go, I just worship God. When you're in this role, you're always judging the service. It's a bummer. And you're messing up when you do that too. So don't be the consumer. We don't want to be the consumer. I'm just saying, if that's you, you're a two. So go ahead. No, but by the way, don't look up at me. Please just look. Don't look at your neighbor. Look only at your sheet. I don't want to see your face right now. You just look down at that. It's you and God. And if you're a two, claim it. If you're a three, claim it. But that defines a two for you. Okay? You're taking in. You're not serving or giving in any kind of way. If on the other hand, you've confessed your name to Christ, you've tried to obey the Lord, you're trying to grow in your faith, you're involved in teaching, maybe in some level, somebody one-on-one, or maybe you're in a small group for sure. You're involved in community impact projects, helping those who are less fortunate than us with resources. You get involved in global impact ministry, either going or contributing to that. In fact, if you give your 10% of that goes outside these walls. $1 million goes outside these walls. If you give, you're participating in that. If you're doing those things, you're probably a 9 on this thing, or maybe an 8 or a 7. That help a little bit define it for you? Are you tracking with me? Are you tracking with me? Okay, now look down, don't look at me, and mark your number. Just what hits you right now? Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's ever going to see it. God already knows it. He just wants you to claim it. Because you can't grow until you identify where you're at. So summon that courage, write it down, and now here comes the good news. I'm going to give you 2 steps to move this thing where you want it to move. And that's where you're going to begin the satisfaction. It starts today when you leave here. You're going to be at a different level because you're going to know you're headed the right direction, never to look back again. You can experience what those who serve experience when you begin to turn the corner. And here's what the second thing you have to do. You have to serve the Lord by identifying your gifts. I'm going to help you do that today. You have to identify your gifts. You have to believe there's a special blessing to those who do serve, and you have to serve with your gifts God has given to you. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, Peter writes it this way. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Now notice it didn't say you might have a spiritual gift, you could have a spiritual gift, you really should have a spiritual gift. It says you have a spiritual gift if you claim to follow Christ. He gifts you. So you already have that gift. You're not a believer yet. You're still checking it out. You're watching this. You'll get the spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit when you yield your life to Christ. But you have a gift right now. And so this says, number one, that you have a spiritual gift. And number two, it says this, that serving is normal for the gifted person. This is not for the extreme religious, radical, fanatic. This is what's normal for a follower of Christ. The normal thing is to serve. And you, third, you recognize this, verse 10, by the way, before we get to number 3, use your gifts well to serve other people. So you have a spiritual gift, use it well. And then number 3, it says, you're to manage well God's gift. How do you use it well? By managing it well, by stewarding well the gift God has given to you. And by the way, you don't have just one gift. I'll give you your primary category of gifting, but you're a spiritual snowflake. You have a combination of this gift mix, but you have a primary way in which you're gifted, and you'll find his pleasure when you identify that and begin to serve in that way. I'm going to give you there that, and again, in a few minutes, I'm going to give that to you. By the way, you know what the opposite is of a good manager in the Christian environment? A good manager, the opposite is a Christian who is not serving is a bad manager. God's gifted you. You're wasting it or burying it. Jesus taught a lot about it. And so you're a bad manager if you do that. But you can change that today. There are three spiritual gift lists in the Bible. We're going to look at one of them because it gives seven major categories. It'll move you off square one and really begin to help you. So let me read it, and you see the one that applies to you. Don't get ahead of me. We'll read it, and we'll walk you through it. Romans 12, verse 6. Let's read it. Here it is. See if you can find the seven gifts. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Now, you fill in the blank when I come to the gift. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, if he's given you that, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Like I said, today you have to say hard things sometimes you don't want to say if you're a prophet. But speak the truth if God has given you that gift to speak the truth to people. If your gift is, if it's serving others, serve them well. Would you say it with a little mustard behind it, really? Okay? If I could get you to say it, this probably is not a kind of waste of time. So you're going to bring it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. If you're a teacher, teach him well. Did I skip serving? If you're serving, serve them well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Did you get the seven? Here they are. Prophecy. Write them down. Serving. Teaching. Encouraging or encouragement. Giving. Leading. Showing kindness. I had you identify where you were when you came in, 2 through 9. Now I'm going to have you identify your primary of the seven gifts. And so I'm going to help you find out what that is. And so what I'm going to do is kind of describe the seven with an illustration, a little skit here, a way that I think you'll probably hit your primary gift. And the easiest way, I'll tell you up front, to determine your primary gift is a test drive. You have to just kind of try some things, usually. And you try it and you go, this isn't it. And you try this, you go, now that's the pleasure I feel right there. Sometimes you guys do stuff that you'd rather not do. It's a need. That's great. But God really wants you to be on your point, where you're mainly gifted. So that's what we can help you to do. So try all seven. Usually one of them will click, and you'll be on your way. Now, helping with this is Jamie Johnson. Jamie, come on out, buddy. Jamie is an actor. That is, he really is an actor. You've seen him on some commercials before, perhaps, locally. He and a buddy just made a movie, 60-minute movie. It's going to be produced sometime, we hope, soon. But more importantly, he's just all in here, he and his family. They never miss whenever the doors are open. And just, he serves anytime, anyway. And I need somebody today in a skit that will only make expressions and won't speak. Who can do that? Rubber face, right here, you'll see. The guy has got the faces. So he's going to show us today, when you go to a restaurant, the first way you tend to respond will tell you how you're gifted. Okay? So you're at a restaurant, you're enjoying your meal. There's a guy sitting close to you. He's beginning to have his apple pie. So Jamie begins to eat his apple pie. And you kind of glance out of the corner of your eye, and you see him enjoying his pie. How do you respond? You see a guy sitting here, you has made a stinking mess, dropped his pie on the floor. How will you respond? I would suggest to you, your first response is your primary gifting. So let's take them in order. If you have the gift of prophecy, what you do is you speak the truth even as a rebuke. What's a prophet do? Dude, seriously? Did anybody teach you, like when you go out to eat, man, to keep it on the table? Do I really have to do this? In fact, I'm not going to do it. You made the mess. You clean it up. But listen, hey, ho, before you clean it up, next time somebody tells you what to do, would you do it? Do it right. For the sake of everybody else. You embarrassed your family, the restaurant, the whole deal. I love you, but I'm just speaking the truth. And then if you're a good pastor, you say, but you know I love you, right? No. Okay, the prophet gift is not always fun, but somebody's got to kind of speak the truth. Come on, man, you're how old? How many kids, really? That's the prophet. Some of you know who you are. You're going to fix it, right? You're going to just help the boy along. That's the prophet. That may be you. What's our second one? Serving. What do you do if you have the gift of serving? You're probably going to get up, and that's where you're going to pick up the piece of pie with your hand and put it up here and serve it and get it out of the way. And you put it there, so you helped him that way. Hey, waiter, can somebody come and clean this thing back? Clean it up, you know. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to help him in some kind of way. You're going to do something to help. You know who you are, right? You've got to do something. The poor guy is sitting there. You're going to go over and say something, and so you kind of want to help him. You want to serve him in some kind of way. Some of you do that. Then number three is what? Teaching. This is fun. Who are the teachers here? You just want to help, don't you? Jamie. Hi, I'm Steve. Don't touch my hand. Hey, bud, listen. Three fingers, put three fingers right there. Three fingers, three. Okay. Every time you go to a restaurant, if you will just follow the instructions, three fingers there, not so close to the end of the table, it'll never come off again. Okay? It's that simple. In fact, my Bible study tonight, we're going to teach on Jesus and the meals tonight, the meals he had. You know, Jesus never once spilled his pie, not one time. I just want you to know. You're welcome. That's a teacher. You just give some good instruction. You're just trying to help the boy move along, all right? That's number three. Number four, you're the encourager. Encouragement, you just want him to feel better about the thing, you know? You're not the only one who does this. You aren't the only one who does this. I've watched other people do it. In fact, I've seen him do it. I've seen Doug do it before. I mean, really, Doug's a brother. I've seen him do it. I do it. So don't worry about it. I know, you know, you feel stupid. Yeah, eat the dirty pie. That's good, yeah. I'll still encourage you. Eat the dirty pie, brother. If it makes you feel good, there's healing in sin. Go ahead and take it up. You eat it up. Yeah, right. His wife is going, are you serious right now? She's a counselor, so you can fix him later, okay? All right, so you're giving the guy some encouragement. You just want him to feel better. I mean, you're trying to save the guy from all this humiliation. His kids are there. You're just going to help. You can't help but encourage him in some kind of way. Now, some of you have the gift of giving. You love to help out. So you'll probably make sure things are okay, but you'll also probably sneak over to the cashier and say, put his bill, tell him it's been paid for, and would you give him a $50 gift certificate on behalf of the restaurant? People who have the gift of giving, yeah, look at him. People with the gift of giving often, I find, don't like people to know what they've done. People who really have an extra measure of it, they love to give when people can't find out about it. You know who you are. That's why some of you wouldn't send some of your stories. You don't want to talk about it. But if you have that gift, you're probably going to do more than just help him. You're going to actually give him something, and that's how the gifting thing works, okay? Number six. Maybe some of you have the gift of leading. How do you know if you're a leader? Look here. You like to tell people what to do. Mate, stop poking your mate. This happened all last night. If you like to tell people what to do, you're a leader. You're just going to help, right? You step up and you go, hey, waiter, manager, busboy, you're calling everybody, let's organize this thing. I mean, this table's odd, it's fixed. Let's fix the thing, let's do it for him. You're taking care of it. You're just putting things in order. You're just fixing things. You're the leader. You take charge. You get people to work together on things to make it better. That's a leader. You can't help yourself, but help the program. And that's a leader. If you have the gift to lead people on a direction in a way they cooperate, then that's the gift of leadership. So you have that. The last one is kindness. And kindness, is about the feeling thing. Don't feel so bad. I do it all the time. I wear a bib whenever I go to Skyline Chili. I wear a bib whenever I go to Montgomery and Ribs. If I ever eat in the family room, my wife makes me put a towel here. All that's true. So feel better. You're welcome. No more hugs. No more. Yeah, okay, hug. One more hug. Would you thank Jamie for helping us with the gifts, all right? Did you find your gift? What was your first reaction? Look at the seven and circle one right now. Don't think about it too much. Just circle one. Because the day you acknowledge God has gifted you, and the day you decide he's going to give you, you're going to have a gift that you wouldn't have any other way, you will be ready to go. You'll be on it. In fact, NFL football today. Who's going to watch NFL football? I like to watch it. You know what the deal is about football? It's real simple. There are 22 people on a field that are playing hurt and are exhausted. They need some rest. There are 70,000 people who need some exercise. Am I right? It's kind of like church sometimes. You're watching the fools on the field, and you're sitting back going, yeah, an A, a B, a C, boo, hiss, right? Not church. That's not God's idea. Forget the stadium analogy. We all need to be exercising our faith. We all need to be in with this thing. So there's two areas, two things you can do, real simple. Here's number one, take the step to serve today. Would you take out of your outlines this first serve? There's three things you're doing during communion today. You look at your number 2 through 9, you look at your primary gifting, and you check 2 of these 8 items. And the staff has told me, I can tell you, you'll be called within 1 week. Things can slip through the cracks. If they aren't, please let us know. We want to contact all of you. Don't pick them all. Pick the first 2 that hit you and begin to put your gift into play. It's really that simple. And then you'll be filled with satisfaction, even as God wired you the same way. He knew all about this lady. He did all 7 things he did for her. Jesus had all the gifts as primary, right? He did all of them right here. Look at the story. He did all 7 of them. You and I have 1 primary. If you can identify that, where you are, and begin to go down the field, you'll be on your way. That's the third lesson. You change the world. Don't you want to change the world? Here's how. By deploying your gifts. It really is that simple. Jesus said, be the light of the world. What's that mean? Serve him. Use what God has given you to bless others, and your world begins to change. So go on our website, again, Compassion website. Would you, for the next 3 weeks, find a different way to serve? Please send me your stories. Every week I'm going to share stories with you and pictures. Please do that. Or sneak up on somebody and catch a picture of them. Send me their story. We'll share it the next 3 weeks. Or you can text Compassion. Here's the phone number. And dial into that. We'll share all these stories. It's just going to be fun to celebrate. But I'm going to share one more story with you before we have communion. Look at this picture. I've been sitting on this picture for a month because I knew today was coming. I wanted to tell you this story for so long. This is Angela Miners and 22 ninth grade girls. Who signs up to lead 22 emotionally wrung out ninth grade girls? I think she's Jesus. I don't know. She just loves ninth grade girls. It's her Bible study group from church. They went to Kohl's to buy presents for kids who've never had in their life what they've had all their lives. So they had their list of shopping for these families. They finished shopping. It's time to pay at Kohl's. And so they're in kind of a hurry. It's Christmas mode, right? So Angel says, okay, we got them. Let's go. And all of a sudden, the girls go, no. And they just sat down in the middle of the aisle. All 22 of them sat down. Guys, we got to go. Not till we pray. 22 ninth grade girls. Concerned about reputation? We're going to pray. We're going to pray over the people getting this. We're going to pray God will do within us what he wants to do before we do anything else. So they stop and pray in the middle of Kohl's. Now, like the woman, go and tell people. They weren't trying to preach, but guess what happened to everybody in the store? Who is that? Where are you guys from? Connection Point Christian Church. What are you doing? Christmas for 500 people. Do you guys have Christmas services? When? 7,300 people show up here on Christmas Eve. Some of them because they saw 22 girls praying in the middle of Kohl's. Just trying to be like Jesus. And by the way, who do you think was blessed more, those families who got those gifts or those 22 girls? I would love to track the stories of these 22 girls. Their world started to change then. Heaven will reveal some people who saw them and went, you know what? I need to get back to God. Who knows? Who knows, God? And when we do what Jesus did, only thinking about him and not anybody else, there's a fulfillment that comes that goes beyond what we could ever ask, imagine, or think. And so let's pray. So we will get it. We will get it. We don't want to be like disciples. We want to get it like these mature, wise ninth grade girls. And our world will start to change when we use our gifts to serve God and serve other people until we can get on our knees and cast our crowns at his feet. Let's pray. God, thank you for moments when even the loudmouth prophet can't speak because we're in awe of you. And people devoted to you, we see heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And so it's best just to be still and know that you're God. So it's time for us to be still, to focus on Jesus, who for the joy set before him went to the cross, scorning the shame of the cross, and is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on our behalf. Right now, God, you are busy praying for 1,000 people this moment who are saying, God, this is where I am, 2 through 9. God, this is how I think you've most wired me. God, these are two things I'm going to say, hey, I'm open to this. And as I said earlier, their life will be changed. They will have the kind of life this year they've always wanted to have if they'll just do these simple things. And so, God, as we remember the sacrifice of Christ, as we hold the bread and fruit of the vine, we're just going to take a couple of minutes and review the number, our primary gifting, and check a couple of boxes and plate those cards in our offering plate, and then we're gonna continue the journey. And oh, dear Lord in heaven, how our world is going to change when thousands of people start to just act like Jesus. And I pray that every person here, the person who feels the worst about themselves after grading themselves today, that they will say, today is the first day of the rest of my life. And we give you thanks in advance for the fulfillment that comes when we try to be like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.